Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Boomer was talking about a Bill Belichick press conference yesterday, talking about Gronkowski and Tom Brady not being at OTAs.
Or not talking about the people that will not be that are not there. So he didn't mention them by name. Yeah. He was asked by name.
And we'll get to Jerry in a second, but CBS Sports Network just put up the picture. We were just debating it quickly. I thought he put it inside out because of the way that the Patriot logo faces. He either has his thing, it's either inside out and you see the back of the stitching, or he ripped it off.
If it's inside, that's ripped off. And if it's inside out, it'd be on the other side, wouldn't it?
Yes. That's ripped
off. But that's the way that the Patriot
is totally
logo,
ripped off.
Yeah, look behind his right shoulder. Yes, his right shoulder.
All right. Yeah.
So now what do you think?
He ripped it off.
It's ripped off. What do you think, Al? Do we have a breaking news story here or what?
Kind of looks inside out to me.
No, because the zipper is proper.
Right now I'm saying that it's ripped off. I thought it was inside out at first, but it's ripped off now.
Eddie, I know you look into things like this. What do you think?
Oh, it's 100% ripped off because you look at the logo behind him, it's facing the same way, and the zipper is the key point.
Yes. The zipper looks like it's in the normal
is
spot.
Correct.
Yes.
What the hell is he doing ripping the logo off, sending
a message.
Some crap
but why
is going
didn't he
on.
Just retire, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Just sending a message, man. Things are going on up there, man. But you got the whole Malcolm Butler thing, and you got the losing the Super Bowl. You got to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. You got Tom Brady being asked by Jim Gray on stage. Do you
so
feel
then
appreciated?
Leave instead of ripping your, passive aggressive. How old is he? 63 now? You're still acting like you're in middle school?
Ripping off your logo, that's ridiculous.
I love
the little things that he does, man.
I love Bill Belichick. I always have.
Dude, there's a lot of stuff that he does that just is amazing.
No, I know that. You're not going to get an argument there.
That sends me a message. He's sending a message.
That he's a baby? What's the message?
Send a message, man.
To who?
I don't know.
To what?
To somebody.
It's the most successful professional sports franchise.
Oh, it's ridiculous how successful. Yes, I get it. I know. But
so what is the message that he's sending?
My man's sending a message right there. I'm not really sure what he's sending, but he's sending a message. I saw this last night. I'm like, wow, why did he rip the logo off of that wind shirt?
I don't like the message, whatever it is.
Get ESPN the magazine on this and get them to do an in-depth study.
The problem is he doesn't answer a question. So
right.
I don't know what study you're going to get.
Maybe this is like, they sell distressed shirts.
Yeah, like you like a distressed shirt and a ripped jean, Right.
But I don't know. To me, it just seems like, when Belichick wants to send a message, he sends a message.
Hey, Belichick! Come on, Billy Belichick, huh? Belichick!
I'm telling you, my man sending a message. That's what I think.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if this continues. And if it does, and he just drills himself into the ground because he's acted petty with the people in his own organization, it's not going to be a good look.
So something happened in the basketball last night where a message was sent. And the message was sent by maybe one of the best players that we've ever seen in his position. And that message was a message of shimmy, shake, shimmy, shake. And the message was received by the team he was playing against. That would be the Houston Rockets, because they held Steph Curry to 2 points in the fourth quarter. And the, by the way, Golden State Warriors, we're going to win by chucking up threes and everything else. Stubbed their toe last night, and Chris Paul showed up and had a little bit of an attitude.
He was getting
sick and tired of seeing that shimmy shake in his face.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what that's all it was. But I mean,
I'm not saying that's all it was.
We're going to win by chucking up threes. It's the best shooting team in the history of the NBA.
My point being is that, you better be careful. You better respect the game. And I get, the emotions of the game and all that other stuff. And the night before or two nights before, we were celebrating the fact that this was his effing house and he's shimmy and shaking all over the place. You don't think that James Harden and Chris Paul are getting sick and seeing that?
Okay, well, good. They did something about it last night.
They did do something about it last night. They took back home court advantage, dude.
Right, I know. I still don't think they're going to win the series. All right, Jerry is here. He's got an update for us. What's going on, Jerry?
We're brought to you by Paul Conte Cadillac, 1 mile west of the Meadowbrook on Sunrise Highway in Freeport, and brought to you by Monmouth University, our coast, your horizon. Navigate your future at monmouth.edu. And let's do that basketball from last night. Rockets, Warriors at Golden State.
Back the Rockets come. 2.5 to go in game four. They're up by two. Paul comes left. Bounce pass up top. Eric Gordon for three. And he knocks it down. Splash Gordon with a big-time shot. nails the three, his first of the game, and the Rockets go up five.
That was a guy that was huge 89. In game two. He was huge in game two.
He was, yes,
and
he was.
Then he comes up with a big shot last night, man, and ooh, finally had a game. We finally had like a game that went into the fourth quarter. It meant something, and Curry had a shot to tie the game last night.
Yeah, well, that there was really a whole mess. That last possession was disgusting for the Warriors.
Why didn't Steve Kerr, you know, devise something for them? What is he doing?
What he's doing is, and he said after the game that they're so good in transition and getting shots, and they are.
So
because
we don't
they're
really
that
have
good.
Plays. We don't really
no,
need
he
plays.
Didn't, he and... didn't want to call a timeout because he trusted his guys in that situation.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it turned out to be a mess. I mean, Kevin Durant, they wanted to get a timeout there. Once Kevin Durant passed the ball to Klay Thompson and they were all over him, and Draymond Green was trying to call a timeout, they didn't give it to him, and then Klay Thompson threw up a disgusting shot, and that was the end of it.
Oh, so they were trying to call a timeout.
They were late once, but it was late in the possession. It wasn't right off the bat. So once things started to break down. And they should have. I mean, at that point, they should have. And Klay Thompson should have known enough to call a timeout there, but he didn't. And he turned around and threw up an air ball, and it was just gross.
So the Rockets win 95-92. That, by the way, was Craig Ackerman, Rockets Radio. Here's Mike D'Antoni. Team was punched in the face, and they did just fine.
Somebody asked me before the game about our adversity or, you know, how do we respond. I think we saw not only respond for the game, we're down 12-0.
To start, and they came roaring back, as you know, and they held Golden State. I don't know how that's possible, but 12 points in the fourth quarter. Here's James Harden, never got nuts after being blown out in game three.
I mean, that third game was just one loss. You know, we all know what that is.
I know what it is. He had 30 points in the win last night. Chris Paul is battling a sore foot at 27. Here's Steve Kerr. What happened down the stretch?
I felt like in the fourth quarter, you know, we just ran out of gas. We scored 12 points.
Yeah, so essentially saying the team's tired. Here's Steph Curry disagrees.
Like the fight that we showed, and, you know, fatigue is not an excuse for either side, so that'll never creep in your mind.
They may be just, you know, wasting so much energy shimmying and shaking all over the place. You know what I mean? Maybe that's
snapped a 16-game postseason home winning streak for Golden State. So pretty cool for Houston.
The boys are used to a little edge.
They go home even 2-2 game five tomorrow night.
God knows they need it.
Dude, gave them a little edge, man.
Yeah,
say,
God knows they need that edge.
Enough of this nonsense, and we're going to take it to you, and they did.
Right, they go down in the postseason every single year. I mean, they need it. So maybe, you know what, if that's what got them going, then I mean, that's not a good sign for the Warriors, but I think that can't be. I can't imagine that moment needs any more motivation for players like Chris Paul
than just the moment.
Than just what this was.
Agreed.
And going down 3-1 in this series in a Western Conference final winning a 65-win team. You're telling me the smelling salt for them was watching Steph Curry move his shoulders?
Well, if it was, wouldn't they have been the team to jump out 12-0,
right,
come out on fire?
I'm just saying, during the game, all of a sudden, now we're going to start showing off, and we're going to start doing our little thing and our dance and all that other stuff, which is fine because he's done this before. And I got to believe that, you know, if you are an athlete and you're in that situation and you're being embarrassed, that you're going to do something about it, especially when you're as good as Chris Paul and James Harden have been. I mean, it's not like, you know, they're getting, you know, or players in their late 30s that are trying to hang on here. They're right there with them physically. And, you know, sooner or later, you just get pissed off.
Okay. I mean,
you're going to tell me and I'm going to take you back to high school because it's the last time, and you'll see it tonight a little bit because you'll be in your uniform tonight. But there's an expectation, right, not to be intimidated or to impose your will on the opposing team. You're going to tell me that Joe Sipp never, like, screamed at you guys to say, you know, we're going to take these guys
down? Well,
that's
a different story than needing a guy to move his shoulders around to get motivation to win a game. I mean, that's what my point is.
I don't think you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, it's like you have to understand it to be there. You have to understand it. And the competing is like, you know, you want to be a little bit disrespectful on the court and all that other stuff. Great. We're going to kick your ass, and we're going to do it because of the way you're acting. You've never heard of that incentive? You've never heard of that motivation?
Right. No, I have, but they lost by 41 the game before, and there was plenty of shimmy shaking going on in that game,
yeah,
too.
And then they saw the shimmy shake come out again last night in the third period and said, all right, enough's enough.
Enough is
enough.
Yeah,
and enough with the basketball. How about the Yankees last night? Did not go well for them because they got down early.
Pitch is drilled to deep center field. Back goes Hicks. It's way over his head and gone. Into the grassy knoll over the center field fence. a three-run home run for Jerks and Profar.
That's John Sterling on the fan. An early 3-0 lead for the Rangers. They wound up beating the Yankees 6-4 along the way.
And the home plate umpire, Pat Horberg, just threw out, I think, Boone. Boone comes out of the dugout. He threw somebody out.
Yeah, he threw out Aaron Boone because on a 1-1 pitch. This is the problem with the box, too. With the strike box, the strike ball box in these baseball games. That pitch, the 1-1 pitch on Gary Sanchez, looks so far and out.
Right.
And then you got David Cohen saying, no, I think it's a strike.
Well, it clipped.
And it was.
Right, it clipped the top part of the box. It did. And to me, that's a ball. That's a ball every time.
So at the same time in the Met game, there's a ball that is called. And it looked like a strike. Zach Wheeler was throwing it. And Ronnie Darling said the same thing. He goes, if we ever get rid of these umpires and we go to the electronic umpiring, this would be a strike and the hitters are going to get ticked. So you have two umpires, basically almost the same pitch. Actually, I thought that Zach Wheeler's pitch was a strike when he threw it. One called it a ball, the other one called it a strike. You know, and that's kind of the human element part of the game that I don't want to get rid of.
Well, here's the thing. If it is electronic and it's the same every time,
can't argue it.
They're right.
I know, but I don't
get used to it.
Do you want it electronic?
I do, actually.
Yeah, I do.
I do.
Yep.
I'm so tired of these guys controlling the game, and they do.
Yeah,
and they do. A bad strike zone can control the game.
I mean, do you really need to throw Aaron Boone out too for barking from the dugout one time?
You're not allowed to be screaming about balls and strikes.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, you have Gary Sanchez. What position does he play?
He's a catcher.
All right, so he kind of knows the strike zone, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When you saw that pitch to Gary Sanchez, did you think it was a strike?
I thought it was horrendous.
I thought it was a ball.
Right. I thought it was horrendous.
That's right, and it was a ball, and it should have been called a ball. And as
not according to the box,
the box would show you that it was a strike.
Then, so that's why,
as
I don't
David
go to...
Cohen said, it was right across the letters.
You know what?
And caught plenty of the plate.
The whole thing sucks.
Right. The Yankees lost 6-4.
How you doing?
This is the problem with the box. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Marlins beat the Mets 5-1. Miami scored 3 in the second. JT Realmuto, a 2-run single after the throwing error by Jose Reyes, who also got away with one later in the game, too, at another throwing error on a lightly hit ball as he spiked it into the ground, which was ugly as hell. Caleb Smith, 6-2-3.
Looks like Pat Sherman throwing out the first pitch the other night.
And yes, exactly right. And the one thing on Wheeler, I disagree with Greg. I'm with you. I thought Wheeler got better as that game went on.
Yeah.
I mean, the fourth, fifth, sixth, he started mowing him. And then, pitch count, take him out.
Yeah,
I mean, that last inning was great.
I don't think I want him throwing 115 pitches right now.
No, but you can make the case he kind of found something. He was in rhythm. I would have kept him in, but I understand. I get it. 100-something pitches. You got Jacob DeGrom opposing Dan Straley. Tonight, Jose Bautista was essentially signed in the afternoon, got off a plane at 6 o'clock, and was in the starting lineup at 7:10 for the Mets. He did double and score their only run. Braves beat the Phillies 3-1. Ozzie Albies, his 14th home run. Nationals over the Padres 2-1, and a Michael Taylor RBI double in the ninth inning. Red Sox beat the Rays 4-2. Rangers expected to name David Quinn their new head coach today. In Tampa tonight, Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals. Lightning and Capitals tied 3-3. The winner gets Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll have some sound coming up from Belichick, from Todd Bowles. The Jets did trade Christian Hackenberg to the Raiders for a conditional 7th-round draft pick.
All right, so he hasn't done anything since he got here.
I understand, but good Lord.
Everybody last year was saying, just cut the guy, just cut the guy. At least they got something for him.
They got
something. A conditional 7th-round.
Terrible trade for the Raiders.
And just quickly, the Chargers tight end Hunter Henry suffered a torn ACL at OTAs. And
that
the Eagles, a linebacker, Paul Warlow, he suffered a torn ACL as well after they cut linebacker Michael Kendricks. And you guys went over the rule changes, so more of that coming up through the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.